John Popper on the telephone.
You know, I think in the 60s there was that kind of.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, December 22nd, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We are getting close. It is Festivus Eve, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. December 23rd, a Festivus for the rest of us. We got a special show for tomorrow's Festivus. We'll be having an airing of the grievances, followed by the feats of strength. We will all gather around the unadorned aluminum pole and celebrate a Festivus for the rest of us. But for today's show, let me start with an apology for missing you yesterday. So sorry, live listeners. I was literally just 10 minutes to go for the show, and my laptop crapped out on me. Couldn't get it back online before showtime, so we just had to scuttle the show. Sorry about that, but we did get some writing done. Check out weednews.co if you want to see some of my latest blog posts and charts and stats that I've been digging up over these past couple of days. Coming up on today's show, we've got some of those stats and charts to discuss, but first we'll start off with the Cannabis Radio News, and in our headlines today, we've got a new licensing decision from the City of Portland regarding marijuana delivery services. We've got a new license being issued in Florida for their new medical marijuana program. In Denmark, the city of Copenhagen is battling the federal officials on its plans to legalize cannabis. We've got a new dispensary business in Maui, Hawaii, with an interesting take on how they're going to run their dispensary. The governor of Maine, Paul LePage, is completely off his rocker, although I don't suppose that's actually news, is it? And in Maricopa County, the pot-hating attorney there, Bill Montgomery, the county attorney, is still fighting legalization, going to take it all the way to the Arizona Supreme Court. We'll tell you all about that coming after the first break. Also on the show today, in Behind the Headlines, our Cannabis Focus will take a look at the sixth straight 2016 national poll showing majority support for marijuana legalization. The hits just keep on coming. And we'll take a special look back at some predictions by the quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, Mr. Kevin Sabet, and how he said legalization would be its own worst enemy. Yep, any minute now. I'm sure that's going to kick in. Also on the show today, we'll go to the drug war data mines, where we've got a new study that takes a look at traffic fatalities in the states that have adopted medical marijuana and access to marijuana dispensaries. Then, as we get to half past, we'll have time for our Cultivator's Corner, where we're joined by the legendary Jorge Cervantes. He's going to be telling us all about using neem oil and other methods to help protect your plants from pests. That's coming up at half past in our Cultivator's Corner. Also, make sure you check out his website, marijuanagrowing.com, for plenty of information on how to cultivate your favorite plant. Then at the end of the show today, in hour one, we'll have time for a radical rant, where I'm going to talk about a bill being proposed in the California Assembly to issue a blanket ban on all marijuana billboard advertising, or about all of it, just about all of it. We'll talk about that coming up in the Radical Rant at the end of hour one. And then we take things into hour two, Toker Talk Radio, where you are the voice of the marijuana nation. Our phone line is open 24/7, 365. You can leave a message or call us live in the 4 o'clock hour at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. In hour two, we're going to talk about the fired up activists of 2016. We'll also take a look at a study showing that people at higher risk for schizophrenia are likelier to try marijuana. That old gateway theory being reversed here. Also, a look at my one of my favorite red states, the Lone Star State of Texas, and how it may be moving toward decriminalization. Plus, whatever topics we come around to, thanks to your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ. We're back with the news right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, cannabis nurse Heather.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, December 22nd, 2016. Oregon's largest city has voted to allow marijuana delivery service licensing, according to reports in the Oregonian. Courier businesses can now produce marijuana and other cannabis products. However, they can only sell it through delivery. Like other marijuana businesses, couriers need licenses that are procured from the city and are permitted building in an area only where it's allowed by city zoning rules. All marijuana retailers licensed by the city must first obtain a license from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The couriers cannot sell pot from storefronts, and they can open their licensed headquarters near other marijuana businesses. Traditional retailers and dispensaries must keep their shops at least 1,000 feet apart. Less than 2 weeks before Florida's constitutional amendment expanding the legal use of medical marijuana takes effect, the state's Department of Health has approved a seventh nursery license and could be on the verge of adding at least one more. Department spokeswoman Sarah Ravel said they have reached an agreement with McRory's Sunny Hill Nursery for the seventh license. The nursery is affiliated with Grow Healthy and will operate an indoor facility in Lake Worth. The department also agreed to settle with Plants of Ruskin and Three Boys Farm. Both nurseries are working on potential terms to present to the department. That would resolve the last of the 13 administrative challenges filed by nurseries not selected for the first 5 licenses last December by the Office of Compassionate Use. Amendment 2, which was approved by 71% of Florida voters, takes effect on January 3rd. Copenhagen officials are trying to legalize cannabis despite the Danish government rejecting a proposed trial 3 times previously. The city government, led by Mayor Frank Jensen, has made its 4th formal request that the capital is allowed to carry out a trial legalization program where sales are exclusively handled by public authorities. The coalition of the left-wing Red-Green Alliance and the libertarian-leaning Liberal Alliance said the trial is necessary to prevent the increasing number of shootings in the city, which they believe are linked to rival gangs attempting to control the local market. A Maui, Hawaii business that received a license to sell medical marijuana has revealed plans for its new dispensary, which will include space for a public marijuana education center. Pono Life Services Maui LLC, unveiled the Kahului Dispensary to a group of politicians, community leaders, and others Friday. The business is not yet selling medicinal marijuana because it hasn't gotten permission from the State Department of Health to begin production, the Maui News reported. CEO Michael Takano said the dispensary will feature a public education and retail area that will serve as a waiting area for those who accompany medical marijuana card holders to the facility. A restricted section with a lobby and dispensary will be accessible only to patients. Maine's Republican Governor Paul LePage has a history of interpreting the state constitution in ways that are later discredited, but that didn't stop him from lobbying more dubious claims this week. In a Tuesday interview with WVOM-FM, LePage claimed Maine's constitution says approved ballot referendums are just, quote, recommendations that the legislature doesn't even have to enact, end quote. Experts on Maine's constitution say LePage's interpretation is incorrect. In the radio interview, LePage repeated his belief that Maine voters didn't understand the minimum wage hike and marijuana legalization initiatives they approved. He claimed he can't move forward with marijuana legalization without legal advice and perhaps $5 million approved by legislators. His administration recently announced it is delaying full implementation of the minimum wage hike for 3 weeks while legislators consider tweaking the law as approved by voters. Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery says he'll ask the Arizona Supreme Court to review a lower court's ruling that the state's medical marijuana law is constitutional in requiring counties to approve reasonable zoning regulations. The Court of Appeals ruling Tuesday rejected Montgomery's argument that the state medical marijuana law is preempted by the Federal Controlled Substances Act, a federal law that still makes marijuana illegal. The case in the appeal decided by the appeals court started with a legal dispute over whether Maricopa County officials had to approve zoning for a medical marijuana dispensary in Sun City. Montgomery reacted to the latest ruling by saying that allowing Arizona's medical marijuana program to stand despite federal law undermines federalism and the fundamental principle of the rule of law. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, December 22nd, 2016.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
The International Cannabis Business Conference comes to San Francisco, California on February 16th and 17th, 2017. The ICBC San Francisco, Northern California's first business-to-business event since the recent historic election, will bring together top state regulators and industry leaders to discuss permits, business models, and opportunities within the newly enacted laws and landscape. Of course, the ICBC also famously offers some of the best cannabis industry networking, leveraging our worldwide following to connect wholesalers, brands, distributors, investors, and strategic partners. And don't forget to come early for our VIP reception and stay late for our legendary after party. Join us for the longest continuously running cannabis business conference in California at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square, the one and only International Cannabis Business Conference. Visit internationalcbc.com for tickets today.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we want to take a look at some polls in the United States regarding the issue of marijuana legalization. And the news we have for you today is that the sixth straight poll this year has shown majority support for marijuana legalization nationwide. Now, let me read to you a prediction that we got way back in January of 2014, almost 3 years ago, from Kevin Sabet, who said, quote, "On January 1st, 2014, Colorado made history as the first jurisdiction in the modern era to license the retail sales of marijuana. Colorado's experience, ironically, might eventually teach us that legalization's worst enemy is itself. Constantly downplaying the risks of marijuana, its advocates have promised reduction in crime, flowing tax revenue, and little in the way of negative effects on youth. We shouldn't hold our breath, though." End quote. That's right. That's Kevin Sabet, the quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, who founded the nation's leading anti-legalization organization, Project SAM. 3 years ago, in January, that was an op-ed in the Washington Times he wrote entitled, "Colorado Will Show Why Legalizing Marijuana is a Mistake." Well, Sabet was certain that once the specter of big marijuana was unleashed on the American public, well, we'd see the results of this predatory drug industry luring our kids into a life of stoned depravity. We'd see increases in crime, social costs that dwarf the tax revenues, and then we'd all come to our senses and come to oppose marijuana legalization. Unfortunately for Sabet, American pollsters keep asking us what we think of marijuana legalization, and despite big marijuana establishing a foothold in three states already, we keep saying that we support marijuana legalization. That culminated in four more states passing legalization in the past election. Now, today, the Harris poll is the latest and probably the last in 2016 to ask about marijuana legalization. 50% of its respondents support legalization, and that's up a point from the time they asked last year. Out of the six polls that have asked the question this year, the Harris poll has the lowest level of support. The AP, Gallup, and PRI polls all recorded support at 60% or higher. So at least half the polls taken this year are over 60%, folks. So how is it that after 3 years of legal marijuana sales in Colorado, 2.5 years of legal marijuana sales in Washington, and 1.5 years of legal marijuana sales in Oregon, the American public still overwhelmingly supports marijuana legalization? Could it be because the people in those three states seem to think their legalization is a success? We reported earlier on how the latest poll shows 66% of those of us in Oregon view marijuana legalization favorably. We passed it 2 years ago with 56%. It's up to 66% support now. In Colorado, they took a poll. They asked people, would you support an amendment to repeal Colorado's Amendment 64? 51% of the people responding to that say they'd oppose any such amendment to repeal legalization. And in Washington state, they asked whether or not people would switch their vote on I-502. Knowing what you know now, would you switch your vote on I-502? Less than 5% who voted for I-502 would vote against it, whereas 14% who voted against it would change their vote to yes. So in all three states that have had to suffer the indignity and the assault of big marijuana on their children, all three states support it more now. Or could it be because Sabet's scaremongering about the youth use increases have proven unfounded? We have found since the advent of the marijuana legalization era in 2012, the younger teen use of marijuana has declined dramatically, and the oldest teen use of marijuana has remained steady. And four of the five states and D.C. that had marijuana legalization last year saw declines in teen marijuana use. Three of those declines were in the top 10 in the country. Or is it because the fear that there'd be stoned mayhem on the freeways, that just never materialized? We're going to talk about this in the next segment in Drug War Data Mining, how medical marijuana states have lower traffic fatality rates, and how in the state of Colorado, fewer people were charged with stoned driving in 2015. Or could it be because the marijuana tax revenues have far exceeded any
imaginary social costs that Kevin Sabet won't quantify. I mean, Colorado shops have already sold $1 billion in the first 10 months of 2016, and weed in Colorado alone has a $2.4 billion economic impact and has created 18,000 full-time equivalent positions, creating jobs, bringing in tax revenue, not hurting the kids, not leading to stone mayhem on the freeways.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Well, we are thinking of the children, and it seems to be that legalization isn't hurting them. And whatever the reason is, since Kevin Sabet wrote that op-ed, there have been 22 national polls on legalizing. Only one of those polls showed more opposition than support. I don't know about you, but if my team's quarterback was 1-21 after three seasons, I'd demand the coach send him to the bench.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold. California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Everyone deserves the medicine they need. Aaron's premium CBD essentials and CBD nectar products are made from plant-based organic ingredients, grown and processed in the United States. Our unique formula of coconut oil and coconut water, infused with CBD oil, is ideal for all skin types and provides maximum relief. Aaron's Essentials was formulated by 9/11 first responder and stage 4 cancer survivor Aaron Sieber. As a cannabis connoisseur, Aaron began making and using his own lab-tested medicinal cannabis products to help relieve the side effects of his rigorous cancer treatments. Visit www.canisaurbrands.com for more information on Aaron's Essentials and learn how you can pay it forward. That's CANNAISSEURBRANDS.com.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana! Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the national wildlife refuge for marijuana unicorns.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at a story that's up on the Washington Post that says states with medical marijuana laws have lower traffic fatality rates. What do you know? It's amazing. Yes. So, according to the Post, states with medical marijuana laws have fewer traffic fatalities than those without, especially among younger drivers, a new study has found. You would think crash rates might be higher, supposing that more drivers are too, but no. Researchers at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health found an 11% reduction in traffic fatalities on average when examining places that have enacted medical marijuana laws. 23 states and the District of Columbia at the time. The presence of medical marijuana dispensaries also correlated with fewer traffic fatalities, the study found. That's right. We are discovering that the more access people have to medical marijuana, or just more access to marijuana, period, is leading to fewer traffic fatalities. They did say that that not all states with medical marijuana laws experienced reductions in the traffic fatality rates. California and New Mexico experienced initial reductions of 16% and 17.5%, but then saw gradual increases in their traffic fatality rates. They took into account the graduated driver license laws. That's where, you know, you go from being a teenager who can drive in the daytime, then a teenager who can drive at night with adult supervision, etc. They took a look at median household income, unemployment rates, the speed limit increases, laws on seatbelts, bans on cell phones and texting while driving. They tried to deal with any sort of confounding variables. And once they did, they found that the states with medical marijuana, especially if they had access to medical marijuana dispensaries, had lower traffic fatality rates. Decrease of 11%, 1 out of 9 is the reduction there. 9 people that might have died in traffic fatalities, you're going to save one of them by implementing access to marijuana in your state. Now, the associate professor who was a part of this study, Sylvia Martins, her theory is that the lower traffic fatality rates might be related to lower levels of alcohol-impaired driving. People, especially younger people, began substituting weed for booze. And they found that that was the case. They found that the older folks, 45 and older, they didn't see much reduction, but 18 to 45, they did see this reduction. Access to marijuana leading to lower use of alcohol. We've seen a story I reported a couple days ago on the beer sales in the states of Colorado, Washington, and Oregon are underperforming compared to the rest of the nation and compared to historical norms. This is something that's both, this is a double-edged sword. It's a good thing in that we are seeing the public health benefits of this, fewer traffic fatalities, as this study points out, and all the other sorts of problems that we see with the excess of alcohol in our culture. But this realization also gives power to another possible opponent with very deep pockets, the alcoholic beverage industry and other ancillary industries like restaurants, hotels, and gaming that depend on the lubrication of alcohol to keep their profits high. The more these industries start to recognize how marijuana is going to be a substitute good, how people are going to put down the bottle and pick up the bong, is going to lead them to want more restrictions. We see this in them fighting for restrictions on advertising so that they don't have to compete in the advertising marketplace with marijuana. We see this in restrictions in public use, not allowing there to be any sort of marijuana lounges, or if there are, those marijuana lounges cannot have alcohol. Seems contradictory. You'd think that they'd want there to be alcohol in the marijuana lounge to possibly keep their profits up, but they know there's more money to be made by forcing people to choose. If you're the marijuana smoker and you've got a bunch of friends that are the beer drinkers and they have to choose which place to go to, if you all could go to the same place, it's not as likely to increase the booze sales and decrease the weed sales as your 8 beer drinking friends forcing you to have to go to the beer location. That's the kind of math I suspect that they're doing right there in the alcohol industry. The evidence is also showing that the increase in marijuana availability makes this difference. They compared the medical marijuana states that had kind of dysfunctional or non-functioning dispensary systems versus the states that had the functional dispensary systems, and those had lower, had greater reductions in the traffic fatality rates. So it's not just whether or not we stop punishing people for the use of marijuana that makes a difference, but whether or not they can actually get their hands on the marijuana that is making the difference. Our culture is going to have to go through an extreme paradigm shift here from the alcohol-fueled culture that we've all come to experience in this country, where it's just a fact of life that alcohol is everywhere you look and everywhere you go, to a system that's going to recognize a safer alternative to that alcohol, a system that's going to recognize that cannabis is a legitimate choice. And it'll be interesting to see, as time goes on and there's more and more national support, understanding, and acceptance of cannabis, whether or not our public health agencies may start to steer people toward cannabis rather than alcohol. Wouldn't that be nice to see a public health campaign telling us to put down the bottle and pick up the bong? Maybe I'll live that long. We shall see. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got Jorge Cervantes joining us in our Cultivator's Corner. Tips for the cannabis cultivators out there. Stay tuned. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Seeking a career in cannabis? Ready to become the next great budtender? Increase your knowledge, skills, and higher ability with a Trichome certification today. Trichome Institute is the only cannabis education company in the world with courses that include textbooks, workbooks, and expert-approved and government-certified curriculum. Trichome now offers these courses online. Take the courses at your own pace with 24/7 live human support from anywhere in the world. These courses are perfect for physicians, pharmacists, MMJ parents or patients, adult use customers, and most of all, aspiring budtenders. The course includes full access to the cannabis industry's largest job board and even includes resume building help. Register for online courses with the cannabis industry's educational leader in science, education, and training. Visit TrichomeInstitute.com today.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome. They say marijuana grows like a weed, but growing high-quality marijuana takes more than just throwing a seed in the ground. Join us as we speak with the most recognized cannabis horticulturists in the world and take your live grow questions in our Cultivator's Corner. All right, welcome back, everyone, to our Cultivator's Corner. Joining us by telephone, we've got Jorge Cervantes on the line. Jorge, how you doing?
Real good, Russ. It's great to be here.
Where are you?
I'm actually, I'm up in Redding, California. I thought I'd be able to make it all the way to Weed, California, and I'm on my way before the show. But anyway, yeah, I'm on my way up to Oregon.
Right on. So I would have loved to have talked to you live from Weed. That would have been pretty cool. So you're coming up here to Oregon. It's Croptober is happening. Harvests are happening. And we got questions that are building up in our chat room and plus our live call line is open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. And so what's happening up in Oregon for you?
Well, I've got a family event to go to. And then also I'm going to go back to Southern Oregon and take a lot of video of the harvest that's going on now.
Yeah, it's amazing down there in Southern Oregon. I've seen, you know, 15-foot, 20-foot plants, you know, 5-pound yield. It's remarkable what they do down there.
Yeah, actually, they're doing better than that. They were saying they had up to 15 pounds 2 years ago. Oh. That was a great year to grow. And this year, I'm hoping to see, I mean, I'm sure I'll see lots and lots of 10-pound plants.
Yeah.
They're huge down there. It's amazing.
It's just amazing. And part of what kind of developed that was Oregon's initial, medical marijuana law and setting a plant limit. And so everybody said, oh, well, we can only have this many plants. We better make them as big as we can. And boy, they sure did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It was really good because I remember years ago we were growing 5-pound plants and that we thought that was the limit. But all they had to do was give us another goal, and of course we're going to meet it.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, we've got a question from our chat room, a couple of them building up here. One that asks about, everybody knows you from your grow books and your grow videos, but they want to know if you're going to be getting involved in the grow market legally as either a licensed grower or maybe one of the pick and shovel guys selling, tools and accessories and stuff. What are your plans to grow your business as marijuana becomes legal?
Well, it's kind of funny. That's a real good question, Russ, and it's something I fight with all the time. I'm pretty burned out, I mean, I've been at this 33 years publicly, and so I've always worked on my own and stuff. So now I've got a couple of opportunities. I don't know. We'll just see how everything works out. One's with a seed company. And the others with doing some cultivation stuff. So we'll see how it works out, but it's really a bit early to tell. To be honest, I could go either way.
Jorge, we could go really old school, and you could sell the Jorge Cervantes Halloween disguise costume. You could go back to the old school.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, some people have come as me for Halloween, gone as me to the, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's pretty interesting.
Another question here, since you're talking to us from California, our listeners wanted to know, they've read a lot about there being drought over the past few years in California. Is that still the case? Is it affecting the harvest and the crops?
Yeah, it's not affecting the harvest as much, but there is a drought going on now, and there has been for some years. Where I live in Sonoma, California, we're hoping for a little bit of rain on Sunday, but most all of that rain stays, basically north of, in a long ways north in California. So, I've definitely seen big problems. But like I say, it costs more water. It's more work. I haven't seen it really cut the crop per se.
So we could still get quality buds out of this harvest, just maybe not as many, and they cost more?
Hey, well, no, I don't know if they'll cost more because everybody's growing a lot of cannabis now. I mean, it's pretty amazing. People are really doubling down on their crops, growing 2, 3 times, 4 times as much as the year before. Because what everybody's concerned about is when the law passes and we have some really stiff regulations to deal with, we're going to have to conform here in California. And I think people are looking at this year and next year as the last years that it's going to be kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah, yeah, and there's going to be a lot of upheaval in some of those northern California economies as well as they try to adjust to this.
Everything's going to change like night and day. It's a pretty rough one now. In fact, I'm going to present a seminar at the Canna Expo Grow end of October in Denver. And one of the things I started thinking about for the seminar was how much does it cost to grow inside, indoors, outdoors, and in a greenhouse? And it is amazing. It's like 3 times, maybe 4 times, depends on a few things, but to grow indoors as it is to grow in a greenhouse or outdoors. So we're going to see all kinds of people growing outdoors and in greenhouses. And then after that, we're also going to see, they're going to start using tractors and farm implements, and they're going to have to start growing on flat land because I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many grow situations I've been in or grows that I've been at, and it takes you a half hour on a dirt road to get there.
Yeah.
And that's not real efficient, So we're going to see a lot of big changes, and it's going to be good and bad. There's going to be winners and losers.
No kidding. It happens in just about every major technological or regulatory change. We see that sort of effect. We're speaking with Jorge Cervantes. Our phone line is open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. If you've got a question for one of the most legendary cannabis cultivators out there, and we've got one from our chat room, Jorge. He's asking, he's saying that he recently started using neem oil and is having really good results with it. What can you say about neem oil and how often to apply it and when should you stop using it?
Well, neem oil is really good stuff. Actually, there's several neem products. There's you can get neem soap, for example, neem toothbrush or toothpaste and whatnot. But you can also get it in oil form and in a concentrate. And then, let's see, I forget exactly how it works with the Azomax. There's also another product called Azomax that's a real heavy-duty concentrate of the neem. But it's broad spectrum. It'll kill everything, so you got to remember that. And it's a little heavy. It leaves a little bit of a film on the leaves. So I wouldn't use it too close to harvest. And then you can use it like, you know, a month, maybe a couple of weeks before harvest, but that's gotten a little close. And then after you use it, or when you harvest, just rinse your buds off, your harvested buds off, in water that's had some H2O2, hydrogen peroxide, added to it. And that'll rinse everything off and take any residuals away. So you can use it really... You can use it up till harvest, but I don't know. I still have a kind of a weird feeling about that.
All right. Great question. And I know a lot of people are asking that one and trying to take care of pest management and mold and mildew and all the other terrible things that can happen. At this point, as we're reaching the harvest season, are there things that can't be fixed? Like you get your crop, it's time to harvest, and you're just going to have to destroy it because there's no saving it. What are the big crop killers?
Oh, the biggest one that some people get really, really bad is powdery mildew. And once that takes over your plants, a lot of times, you know, people will still consume it with powdery mildew on it. They'll just wash off everything on the outside. But, you know, that's really not a good idea to consume tainted cannabis like that, especially if you have any type of respiratory problems. So that's probably the biggest one. And I've seen it kill entire crops. Then bud mold is also big, but that you can cut out. You can just cut that right out of the bud. And then other things like, well, usually it happens earlier in the year. When there's less water around, the rodents will come in and girdle the plant. And, you know, there's no turning back from that one. Mm. Also, here's something that's really important, especially now during harvest time. Because, like, last night it dipped down to, like, 45 degrees in Sonoma. And that's pretty cool. So if people go and start watering their plants a lot, and especially late in the day, and they don't need so much water, well, that water will stay in there, and it'll start to drown the roots. And when the roots drown, they rot. So when they start rotting, a fungus starts. So that's the other thing. Be real careful with watering, especially overwatering late in the day now. Yeah, those are the three biggest things, I think.
All right. Great advice. And, of course, folks, you can find more of this great advice at Jorge's website, marijuanagrowing.com, or his YouTube channel where there's some great videos out. And you can get the Cannabis Encyclopedia, which is an amazing tome of a wealth of cannabis cultivation knowledge. Any appearances or places that you'd like to mention as far as people getting a book or an autograph?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Well, as far as getting a book, you know, most people buy it on Amazon because it's a $50 book, and the thing's huge, you know, the Cannabis Encyclopedia I'm referring to. And since it's a $50 book, Amazon discounts everything down, and they discounted it down to $35, so it's a fair deal there. And a lot of the grow stores are still apprehensive to carry grow books. or marijuana books, and some of the dispensaries do. So, and then, but I'll tell you, all of the bookstores carry it. Except there's one big problem, is usually they don't order enough, and it's not in stock.
Hmm.
So that's why I say go to Amazon.
All right. We got a chatter here wants to know, how about an autographed copy? You got some events coming up where they can stop by and get your autograph on it?
Yeah, I'll be, like I said, in Denver. Let's see. I've got that file open, my travel file. Yeah, I'll be in Denver. Oh, I guess I closed it. At the end of this month, and then I'll be at the big fair.
That's a pre-recorded interview that we have with Jorge Cervantes from earlier in the year. We're unable to get a hold of Jorge live today. He's on his way to Spain, I believe, making his way to his other home in Europe and getting ready for Spanibus that's coming up pretty soon. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're live with a radical rant on how California is fighting to ban marijuana billboards, but not the alcohol ones, of course. Because, you know, the children. It's always, always about the children. Stay tuned. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. I didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
The Sacramento Bee today reports that California considers a ban on roadside billboard marijuana ads. According to the story, quote, state lawmakers are considering legislation, Assembly Bill 64, that would amend California's recently passed Proposition 64 recreational marijuana initiative by imposing stricter rules for marijuana advertising. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is a very, very important issue. We got to jump on this right away.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
Yes, it's the children. We've got to worry about the children, folks. Imagine
what their precious innocent eyes would be exposed to if we let purveyors of legal adult drugs to advertise on billboards. Imagine. According to the story, quote, Proposition 64, which allows adults 21 and over to possess an ounce of marijuana and creates a framework for recreational pot sales by January 1st, 2018, banned marijuana advertisements on interstate highways crossing the border into California. The new legislation would extend the ban to prohibit marijuana advertising along any stretch of interstate or state highway in California. End quote. Yep, we gotta act quickly. Gotta jump right on this, because every day that we don't snuff out the First Amendment rights of the marijuana industry is just another opportunity for them to corrupt our youth with sexualized images designed to entice them into a drug habit. Yes, we can't have that. We wouldn't want to have any sort of drug advertising for legal drugs on billboards that might entice the children, that might use, you know, bikini models to get them to think that drug use is sexy or something. Let me continue with the story. It says, quote, Assemblyman Rob Bonta, Democrat of Oakland, one of the bill's sponsors, said the new legislation seeks to fortify Proposition 64 so that marijuana advertisements aren't seen by minors. Quote, we want to target adults and patients and not the broader audience that includes kids in carpools and school buses and families. End quote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Assemblyman is absolutely right. Oh, the kids of all ages are riding around on California's roadways. We must ensure that they're never, ever exposed to the kinds of messaging that would encourage irresponsible drug use. I mean, the idea that adults might consume some sort of drug and then it was advertised on a billboard that not only adults could see, but kids in school buses could see it. We can't have drugs like that being advertised on California's roadways. This story is so important that the Los Angeles Times has also reported on this legislation. Their story is called Pot Ads Along Highways, Lawmakers Wrangle Over Legalization's Consequences. It says, quote, bill sponsor Assemblyman Rob Bonta said, quote, we feel that all highways, and not just ones which cross state lines, are inappropriate venues for cannabis advertising, particularly as Proposition 64 required an adult audience for advertisements other than billboards. End quote. Well, inappropriate is right. By gum, cannabis is a drug that was legalized for adults over 21 only. Legal adult drugs advertised on state highways, why that would just allow the industry to target underage consumers. And who knows what kind of debauched imagery and messaging that big marijuana would use to peddle their drug. Why, they might have celebrities endorsing their drug right there on billboards on the roadsides where kids could see it. They might promote messaging that says that using drugs could lead to a good time, sexually speaking. Why, we can't have our kids being exposed to that. Here's some more from the LA Times story. Quote, the concept of the bill is supported by Dennis Hathaway, president of the Coalition to Ban Billboard Blight, who said he has concerns about marijuana-related billboards he has seen popping up in Los Angeles. Hathaway fears the billboards will send a message to young people that using marijuana is fun without addressing the potential negative health issues involved. End quote. Yeah, there's no limit to how the big marijuana companies might try to fool young people into thinking recreational drug use is an activity that popular, healthy adults engage in. Can you imagine if drug manufacturers were allowed to put billboards out on the streets that tied their product in with, say, college football or with, you know, boxing or mixed martial arts? Why, if the kids saw these billboards that had legal adult drugs on them, that was tied into athletic events that are really popular, they might think that using drugs is something adults can do that are also healthy and athletically active people could enjoy. Well, we can't have that. That would be terrible. Let me continue from the story. It says, quote, it's totally not justified, marijuana icon and businessman Tommy Chong said of the legislation. It's stupid. It shows you how ignorant they still are. It's been proven that marijuana is not only harmless, but it's good for you. So what are they protecting? Who are they protecting? End quote.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course, Tommy Chong is going to say that the marijuana billboard ban is not justified. He's trying to build his own business. He just wants to get richer selling his own brand of marijuana aimed at the children by promoting how it's the best marijuana and it's super potent. Can you imagine what it would be like if celebrities had their own brands of drugs and those celebrities might lend their name and their likeness to those drugs and have them advertised on billboards on the freeways where kids might see them? It would be terrible, wouldn't it? Here's some more from the LA Times story. Quote, "Broadly banning advertisements such as billboards along highways seems to go beyond what is reasonable," said Michael Leshefsky, Americans for Safe Access's director of government affairs, adding, "Medicinal cannabis is a form of medical therapy and should not be regulated like alcohol or gambling," end quote. Yeah, I mean, some adults might be using cannabis in a responsible way, and they might be using it in a medical way, but once we allow some of those marijuana companies to advertise, why, they'll all want to advertise, and then our children will be exposed to sexist messaging that glorifies a partying lifestyle. Yes, California Assembly, you should muster up the 2/3 majority necessary to pass the law to ensure that the marijuana industry's ability to advertise on billboards is shut down. It's all about the children, you see. We've got to do whatever it takes to make sure the children never see a popular, mind-altering adult drug being advertised on the highways. And I'm sure that once the California Assembly has mustered the 2/3 majority necessary to alter Proposition 64 and ban these adult drug companies from advertising directly to our children, I'm sure they'll get right on mustering the 50% majority they need to ban alcohol billboards all across the state of California. This entire rant is based on a piece I've written up at weednews.co, and in that piece, I have interspersed numerous alcohol billboards that you can see all over the country. Folks, why is it that treat marijuana like alcohol never ever gets turned around into treat alcohol like marijuana? I refuse to believe that the California Assembly has the best interest of the children at heart when they can't lift a finger to stop similar and far more ubiquitous and egregious advertising from the alcohol industry. You drive down Sunset Boulevard, you drive down Santa Monica Boulevard, you drive down Weed, California, and you're going to find alcohol billboards in Spanish and in English. And you're going to see bikini models. And you're going to see sports stars. Hell, one of the billboards that I've got in the piece is actually a Coors Light billboard. It says, "Give Thirst the Axe, proud partner of Cal Athletics." University of Berkeley, Cal, with their logo right there on a football. A silver football, of course, for Coors Light, the silver bullet. So that doesn't seem to be a problem for the California Assembly. Let's associate a shitty American macro brew with a popular, well, I don't know how popular Cal is these days, but with a college sports team in the Pac-12. That's not a problem for the children. We're not worried about the children when it comes to that drug ad, are we? And let's not even talk about all the rest of the sorts of ads that we see on billboards, strip club ads, personal injury lawyer ads, pharmaceutical ads, all sorts of things that we see in numerous places that kids can easily have a view of. And nobody ever raises this hue and cry. Why is it that marijuana is suddenly this big concern that we can't let the kids... Oh, I remember. Oh, yeah, that's right, because this is a culture war. It's okay if the kids get the messages about alcohol, because alcohol's culturally acceptable. Has nothing to do with their health, has nothing to do with their well-being. It's all about the culture, baby. And if they can't beat us at the ballot box, they're going to beat us at the legislature. They're going to beat us in the bureaucracy by trying to maintain our status as second-class citizens as long as they can. Well, I say, whatever they propose for marijuana, make that the law for alcohol, and I'm all for it. Well, maybe not. That's all the time we got in hour one. Stay tuned. Hour two is next. And until next time, Take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.